Mabel Cabot is from an early generation of women to strike out and make a career for herself. She founded her own PR firm. She was an executive at the Ford Motor Company. And under her earlier married name, Mabel Muffy Brandon was the social secretary in the Reagan White House. But when her mother died, Cabot discovered that her proper privileged mother also had once struck out on an extraordinary journey. NPR's Renee Montaigne talked to Cabot about her book, Vanished Kingdoms, based on her mother's diaries.
Growing up, Mabel Cabot was surrounded by beautiful furniture and antiques that her mother had brought back from China in the 1920s. Occasionally, her mother, Janet, would tell the children stories about her adventures before they were born.
As you would tell stories, she told us of robbers riding across the Alashan Desert in dust storms to rob the caravans. She told us about going down the Yellow River gorges in a yak raft.
Fantastic stories from the time of the discovery of King Tut and the real Indiana Jones. But then while Mabel Cabot was sorting through her mother Janet's effects after her death in 1963, she discovered a photograph hidden in a desk drawer. The young Janet Wilson gazes into the camera from the steps of a Chinese temple alongside her young husband, Frederick. And this memento of a time long vanished eventually led Mabel Cabot to the Peabody Museum of Archaeology and Ethnography at Harvard, where she found in its basement archives 1,900 photographs the couple had taken on their 4-year trek through China, Mongolia, and Tibet. From these photos and her mother's letters and diaries, Mabel Cabot pieced together the story of an amazing expedition undertaken by a most unlikely explorer.
Janet Wilson, my mother, was a sort of a privileged, spoiled daughter of a New York railroad baron who lived in Edith Wharton's New York in that cocoon, protected world at the end of the Golden Age in the early 20th century in New York. And she was looking for an escape. She found the social life of New York stultifying and stagnating. And one night they went to hear the legendary Roy Chapman Andrews, who was the prototype for Indiana Jones, speak at the New York Museum of Natural History. And Frederick came out into the night and said, "That's it. I'm going to be an explorer. We're going to go to China, great frontier." And Janet, my mother, said, "Okay, dear," as any good wife did at that time.
The Wilson expedition was funded, or complained Janet Wilson in letters home, underfunded by the National Geographic Society. Still, Janet and Frederick came across wondrous people and places, which led to one bogus story in the New York Times about how the Wilsons had stumbled across a veritable Shangri-La, with the headline reading, "Finds Blonde Women Ageless in China."
It was totally erroneous. What they had discovered was the end of a remarkable Aboriginal tribe called the Tohrun, and they photographed them for the first time in history.
Your mother, though, she has a wonderful, loose, charming, and easygoing way of writing about this. And there's a little passage where she writes about the Tibetan girls in the field.
Yes. "Tibetans stick their tongues out at us, a sign of great admiration, and lovely Tibetan girls flirted and laughed at Freddie. They are most stunning, beautiful, straight figures, high color, jet-black hair done in hundreds of little braids, and great silver ornaments, faces full of merriment and life. We love them, and we want to go and live with them."
That, of course, didn't happen. These journeys were so arduous and dangerous.
It was dangerous. They went for 9 months by camel, mule, and horse, and rafted down the Yellow River. It's extraordinary.
In the course of their travels, Janet and Frederick met, in fact, were brought into the presence of a living Buddha.
Yes. This is at the great monastery of Kumbum. It was deeply, deeply hidden in the mountains in northeastern Tibet. And they arrived and wandered through these extraordinary courtyards where the prayer wheels were spinning. And they were finally received by the head lama, who took them to see the living Buddha. And the living Buddha turned out to be a really very young boy. She writes, "The present incumbent is a Chinese boy of 13 years old, with soft, frightened brown eyes and a timid expression. We presented our gifts, an Ingersoll watch, which shines at night, a compass, some loaf sugar, and a pale blue kata, the silken scarf that the Tibetans always give with presents. The gifts were seized by the three old lamas, and I think the poor little Buddha will have small chance of ever enjoying his Ingersoll.
Mm-hmm. Your mother has a moment in her letter, of self-recognition. She just steps back and realizes where she is.
Yes. It is quite a thing to be received by a Buddhist divinity, and I guess not many of the Junior League girls of New York can boast of it. I think Janet found herself, and if you read the story, you realize how incredibly important she was to this expedition, which is something none of us ever knew. She never talked about the fact that she chronicled and inventoried all the photographs. She took half of them and never got any credit. And she knew that she had achieved a kind of independent recognition. At the end, she considered herself an explorer. She writes, I want to come back. I want to learn Chinese. I want to become a serious explorer. But she came back to the 1920s in Boston, where women really were not stepping out on their own in her group. And she found it very difficult. And looking back on China always made her very melancholy.
The story and the rare photographs of the explorations of Janet Woolson can be found in a new book, Vanished Kingdoms, by her daughter, Mabel Cabot. Mabel Cabot dedicated the book to her mother with the words, "Out of the shadows, at last." I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.
Photographs from Vanished Kingdoms are at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.